In Exodus 26, we pick up in the Egypt to Canaan study, and we are in the third movement of this large study, and we see the section dealing with the way of approach to God. We see this study through the tabernacle. As the Lord had given the moral law back in chapter 20, we think of the Ten Commandments and the associated civil aspect of the law, the details given there. When you come to chapter 25, just for context sake, note verse 8 and 9. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." And so the following portions, we see the details given of the tabernacle proper, as we see on the chart, the tent that was to be in the wilderness, and yet all the instruments and all the furniture. Each of them represents Christ in his work, his person, and his church. And so I'm not going to review too much, but in chapter 25, we see that articles of furniture beginning on the inside, the ark and the mercy seats. And moving on from there, you see the table of showbread, and we see the candlestick. These articles of furniture were inside the tabernacle. Inside, what a reminder there of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because inside, it was all gold. And we think of that purity, the pure gold and the overlaid gold that's mentioned time and again. What a difference from what we find out in the courtyard. Out there in open view, those pieces of furniture were brazen. A picture of judgment, just like that altar that we mentioned before, of how that's where the animals were slain, that's where death occurred, that's where blood was shed. That was a picture of the cross. But inside this tabernacle, inside this tent, it was of gold, all of the different articles of furniture, reminder of the deity and the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, working through then, we come to chapter 26. We see a break for a few verses here, several verses before the rest of the furniture is described. Here in chapter 26, it turns to the tabernacle itself, this tent, and how that the curtains were of certain materials and colors that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fine twined linen. Again, you think of the purity of this one, the perfect man. You think of how it mentions the scarlet. We think of the blood that was shed of the Lord Jesus, the one that's the perfect servant. We think of the blue. We think of heavenly. We think looking heavenward, the blue skies and such. You think of the Lord Jesus in his deity, as it were. And we think as well of the purple. This is the other color that's mentioned. And we think of the kingly one, the Lord Jesus. Remember how they mocked him, had that robe, that purple robe there at the cross of Calvary leading to that. And so these different colors can draw our attention to things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the humble servant, the one that is the coming king, and the one who is God manifest in the flesh. So these descriptions of the curtains are given beginning of chapter 26. And then as well in the middle of the chapter, we see beginning there at verse 7 to 14, we find the coverings that would actually cover this tabernacle. And on the outside, that was not so beautiful. We think of the badger skin. Again, this reminds us of how on the outward, the Lord Jesus was veiled in the flesh. Yes, the essence of who he is was on the inside with all these colors and the fine, fine linen and the gold. We know he's God, the Lord of glory. But when he was here, he was veiled in the flesh. And so thus, if you look down from a mountain and saw this tabernacle, you would see the badger skin, something not so beautiful. Remember how the Lord, the scripture reminds us in the prophets of how once he was beaten by his own creation, his visage was marred more than any man. So unbeautiful, so atrocious how they treated, how man, how our own treated him and beat him. So there's the badger skin on the outside. And so that's a neat study in itself to see coverings throughout the scripture, but for time's sake, we won't review that. Beginning now, if you would please, at verse 15. This latter part of Exodus 26 is taken up with the boards and the sockets and the veil that's on the inside of this tabernacle. You see, when you construct the details of this tabernacle, there's quite specific instructions given. And so in one sense, you read through and you see the detail. But what's so helpful for us as New Testament believers is to back up and to look at the applications and to see what pictures this reminds us of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, verses 15 to 18, we see these boards made of shittim wood. And you'll notice in this section, it mentions gold some seven times. We keep coming back to the gold. On the inside, we find the gold of the, as you think about the boards that were used to construct and hold this tabernacle up. You know, I was looking at one of these sections recently at the home meeting, and one of the elders in the meeting, he's retired from being a president in some large manufacturing or some type of company, been around the world and stuff. And so he's sitting here listening to the message, and at the end when I open it up for the brothers to make contributions, he's like, he had uncalculated what the value of gold is today and multiplied it by things here found in Scripture and said, you know, this would be worth X amount of dollars today. It's just, you think about how this pictures the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and the value of our Savior. Inside, time and again, it talks about the gold. It talks about the fine twine linen, about the purple and the scarlet and the blue. How beautiful it would have been. And so here are these boards that were prepared to hold up in the construction of this tabernacle. But then notice in verse 19 to 21, what was the ground, as it were? What was the pillar? What would these boards be placed upon to be firm? Well, we find the silver sockets. Verse 19, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, two sockets under one board for his two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. And the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there were 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, and two sockets under one board, and two sockets under another board. So in this section, it describes the four sides of how the north and south sides, and then of course the shorter east and west sides. And we find how these boards were firmly upon these silver sockets. When we think of silver in God's word, I believe we heard it mentioned even this morning, this is we remember the Lord, thinking about that reminder of a purchase price. We think about how the Lord Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. We think about the picture of that man Joseph we talked about in the book of Genesis that pictures our Savior, the one that was hated and envied and sold off by his 10 older brothers. He was, as it were, sold off for 20 pieces of silver. Silver reminds us of a price. Silver reminds us of redemption. You know, if you fast forward into Exodus chapter 30, and it would talk about a ransom price and such as that. And so when we think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, a familiar text to each of us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, going back to that Passover when they were in Egypt, they had to have a lamb that was without blemish. What a picture of the Lord Jesus. So our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of silver and we think of a ransom price. We think of our Savior, the one who shed his precious innocent blood for you and for me. That price of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and me. Do you know him today? Do you know of a surety that your sins are forgiven? Your sins are not forgiven by anything that you can do or accomplish or be religious or anything of that nature. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. Only through Christ we can be redeemed. Only through Christ we can be delivered. Oh, those are good words. Saved. Redeemed. Delivered. And it's all because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we can only be just before God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be justified by faith in what the Lord Jesus has done for me. He died for me. He shed that precious innocent blood for me. So yes, when we see back in the tabernacle story that how this tabernacle was constructed and these boards of shittim wood were placed solidly in place, it was upon the silver sockets. In like manner, our salvation is upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ's death. His shed blood, there is redemption ground. Do you know the Lord Jesus today? So as we could go back to our section of Exodus 26, this latter part of chapter 26, thinking of these boards and these silver sockets, let's move down now and notice just in brief, verse 22 to 29, we find the boards once again overlaid with gold. Side to side, we see the term there in verse 25. As we mentioned, there are different levels of study here when we look at the tabernacle. There's things concerning the person of Christ, who he is, his work, what he's done, but also concerning the church of Christ. So when we think about these boards and so on, side to side, we think about us as believers, side to side, workers together, Corinthians tells us. Kind of like the picture back in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, that the revival book, of how they were side to side, doing the work of the Lord together. And that's what we are as believers. In the various ways that God has enabled us, every believer has spiritual gifts and enablements. Some seen more than others, some behind the scenes, but nonetheless working together, side by side. And so when we think of these things, we see verse 29 overlaid with gold. One brother made a suggestion that could remind us, as we think of gold is a reminder of the Lord Jesus time and again, but to be overlaid with gold, think of that. When we're thinking about us on that level of the Lord's church, we're his body, we're the body of Christ, the church. And we think about how we are clothed, overlaid, if you want to use the term loosely. We are clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ. Our righteousness are filthy rags. Romans tells us that clearly, that that's why we need to be saved. We need God's righteousness. And the only way we can have God's righteousness is by faith. Justification by faith. We believe Christ died for our sins. We confess our sins. We acknowledge that. And then positionally, we are clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ, overlaid with gold. Further on in the study here, chapter 26, we see in verse 30, there's the reminder of what was said at the beginning of this section. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. In other words, keep following the pattern. This is God's work. It should be done God's way. That's true today, isn't it? Then we turn to the New Testament and we see how the Lord patterns to us the local assembly and how that we should follow God's word and trust him and live holy lives and spread the gospel. We need to do God's work, God's way. So the reminder here again for those preparing and building this tabernacle, setting it up, remember to do it according to the fashion that was showed you in the mount. Let's do things God's way. And so with that, we move down to verse 31 to 34. Here we see inside this tabernacle proper, inside of the tent, there was two compartments. First was the holy place, a place of service. And then a place of speaking with God. Behind the veil was the most holy place. There is described back in chapter 25. There was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And of course the high priest only could go in once a year behind the veil to make atonement for himself and for the people. The New Testament, Hebrews, reminds us that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus. And he has paid for our sins. He himself is sinless. That's why he is such a great high priest. The one who, when he died, he rose again and ascended back to glory. We see how he is the sinless one, the one who could not sin and did not sin. We see him as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. These priests in the Old Testament was after the Aaronic order. They, of course, died and they were sinners. What a difference. Through Christ, we have a great high priest. So we find this description of this veil beginning in verse 31. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. You see these angelic beings. So this again reminds us of the colors that the curtains on the inside, how it was made as well. And so we see time and again these colors and these materials. Time and again, we see Christ. Throughout the study of the tabernacle, we see Christ. Whether it's the curtains on the inside, whether it's this veil, as you'll see later, we see the door going into the tabernacle. It was described this way. And you go all the way out to the courtyard, how that you would come out of the desert into the very tabernacle courtyard, and there at the gate, you see these colors and such. And so we find Christ throughout the study of the tabernacle. So when we think of this veil that would divide between the holy place and the most holy place, you know, perhaps we could just briefly note some scriptures. Leviticus, as I mentioned, Leviticus kind of parallels with this part of the study of Exodus because it deals with the way of approach to God, how Israel was told to approach God. And in that Leviticus, you might recall that they were told this. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is 16:2, if you're taking note, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Aaron, you don't just come in anytime you want. You can't just come in behind the veil when you want, lest you die. Oh, but what do we know now as New Testament believers? Oh, as New Testament believers, look at this. Go to the New Testament, please, and note in the book of Luke, for example. We find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Luke 23, in verse 45, verse 44 tells us as we look at the cross, it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Of course, we think of how the Father poured out His wrath upon, His judgment upon the Lord Jesus, on His Son, because the sin of the world was laid upon Him. In verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Remember, Old Testament, in the desert, there they were with the tabernacle, moving, following the cloud. But later on, a permanent structure, the temple, was constructed. And so here, when Christ was at the cross, the veil was in the temple. And yet we see that it was rent, as you read and compare the Gospels, it was rent in two from top to bottom. It was what God did. This veil was rent in two. Turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished," and He gave up the ghost. He had done the Father's perfect will. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. That represented change. It showed a change of dispensation. You see, they were leaving the time of the law. And shortly thereafter, the Lord was about to establish the church age in Acts chapter 2, because the Lord had died on the cross and done the Father's perfect will. The Father was well pleased, and the veil was rent in twain. It also showed a change of covenant. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the New Testament in His blood. Chapter 9 of Hebrews. We see the mention of the veil there in verse 3. But then notice in verse 11. But Christ, become an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, Old Testament economy referring to, but by His own blood, the Lord Jesus, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so the blood of bulls and goats could no longer be what they would look to. That was a temporary covering. Only the one sacrifice of Christ could take away sin and deal with it permanently. So yes, that veil being rent in twain upon the death of the Lord Jesus showed this New Testament found in His blood, this new covenant. Turn, if you would, now to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. As we think about this veil, notice in verse 19, familiar portions. Now we compare where we are today as New Testament believers to what we read earlier when the Lord told Aaron there in Leviticus, you can't come in anytime you want to. You can't come in behind the veil lest you die. But now the veil has been rent. Christ has died. He gave His body. He shed His blood for us. Now we can read this, verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Oh, what a difference from what was said in Leviticus 16. Don't come in anytime. Now it says, you have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now we have boldness. We have access. What another change it was represented by that veil being rent in twain once the Lord Jesus died. Now there's access. No longer saying, don't come in. Now every one of us that are born again, 1 Peter 2 calls us holy and royal priests. It's not just those that were of a certain tribe in the Old Testament. Now it's every believer. We're called holy royal priests. And the veil in the temple has been rent in twain. Now we see through the Lord Jesus, we have access. We can go to Him at all times. We have that privilege of going to Him at all times. We have a relationship with Him. We are in His family. We've been reconciled. We've been placed as sons, that is, adopted. And we can call Him Abba, Father. Do you know Him today? Do you know what it means to have that constant access to His presence? Oh, what a privilege. As we close, just briefly, let's go back to the text of Exodus 26 in closing. Exodus 26. As we've seen Christ's victory, as He fulfilled the law, the only man to ever walk this earth sinless and to keep the law, as we see this one by which the veil in the temple was rent in twain because of His finished work, we come back to Exodus 36. And these last verses, I should say 26 rather, Exodus 26, and we're going down to verse 35, is what I should say, 26:35. As we find, it's going to describe the pieces of furniture, the gold pieces of furniture that's in the holy place, that place of service. Of course, that's where the candlestick was and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. The priest could go in and serve the Lord in God's appointed way. And then notice in verse 36, and thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. So once again, here's that pattern. Going in, as it were, to this tabernacle, the tent itself, these reminders of the Lord Jesus. Christ, as the scripture talks about, every whit of it speaks of glory. It speaks of the Lord Jesus. Verse 37, thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be gold, and shall cast five sockets of brass for them. And so here's the tabernacle proper. Here's how it would be constructed. And we think about not only this door into the tabernacle, certain colors. The veil into the most holy place. The high priest could go in once a year. We see with certain colors. We go all the way back out the next chapter addresses this, 27 and 10, to the gate that would allow ones to come into the courtyard itself, coming out of the desert. It also had these colors. So we see all the way through reminders of Christ as we're reminded of the perfect man, the humble servant, the coming king, and God in the flesh. When we think of those four colors, he's throughout the tabernacle. As you know, we mentioned different levels of study, applications. The tabernacle reminds us of the person of Christ, who he is, the work of Christ, what he's done, and also the church of Christ, as we see we that are his today in this age, the New Testament church. So here's a tent. Here's a dwelling place. So on this level of application, think of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2 talks about we're a habitation for the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. He dwells in us if we know Christ is our Savior. 1 Timothy 3 talks about the house of God. There, you again, think of a dwelling place. You think of 1 Peter 2, where the believer, referred to as holy and royal priest, we're called a spiritual house. So these analogies to a dwelling place, we think about what it means to be in the family of God in the New Testament sense, to be in the body of Christ. As we think of the bride of Christ, these intimate terms of relationship. And so we think of this dwelling place that was found out in the wilderness by God's instruction, picturing the Lord Jesus, picturing his work, and picturing his church. I pray we'll go away today encouraged as we think about how Christ is seen throughout this aspect and this section of Egypt to Canaan. With that, I'll ask if one of the brothers may close us in prayer.